I have a little audience participation as we begin this evening. I have a question just for one person in the audience. Kim, did you know that 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? Everybody knows that. Well, did you know that old McDonald was a really bad speller?
Your word is cow.
Cow. C-O-W-E-I-E-I-O. Dagnabbit.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you, well, you know. Everybody knows, right? Everybody knows. And for all you insurance salesmen, I apologize. That was not an advertisement for Geico. But supposedly, everybody knows. You know, there's some things that I guess maybe everybody does know. There's only one person who knows everything. We've been thinking about the attributes of God under the heading, How Great is Our God? And the last Wednesday night that I spoke, we began to think about God being omni. And that word omni means all. And we looked last time at the attribute of God, that He is omnipresent. He is all present. He is everywhere present. And tonight we would like to reflect for the time we have on the attribute of God known as His omniscience. His omniscience. Again, with that prefix omni, and then shunt or sent, S-C-I-E-N-T. You might think of science when you hear that word spelled out. It's not really a word per se, but sent or shunt, as we have it in the whole word, literally means knowing. There was a back during the dot-com craze and that big bubble in the investment industry, there was a San Francisco-based company that did consulting. It was founded back in 1997, one of the largest American consulting firms during that dot-com bubble. And that was the name of their company. And you can see why they would choose that. You know, if you need some consulting, come to us. We are knowledge. We are knowledge. So God is omniscient. He is all knowing. God knows everything there is to know about everything and everyone. Every and any subject that there is, not just the things that you know of, not just the subjects that we're aware of, but anything that can be known, God knows it. In Psalm 147 and verse 5, we read, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." We've already considered the fact that God is infinite, that God is infinite in relation to time and to space. And God's understanding, His application of knowledge is infinite. God knows everything there is to know about every and any subject, and that includes us. Look at Psalm 139. A familiar passage, and we looked at it as we considered the omnipresence of God. I just want you to notice here in the first six verses of this psalm about how it's related to us that God knows everything there is to know about every one of us. And everyone who is anywhere at any time, God knows. He's omniscient. Psalm 139, David, by the Spirit of God, said many years ago, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted." The word there is an intimate acquaintance, an intimate knowledge. "And you are intimately knowledgeable of all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. This idea of God being omniscient, of God being all-knowing, of God knowing everything there is to know and that can be known, that is too much for us. It blows us away as we think about our God. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we read Solomon at the dedication of the temple speaking of the Lord hearing in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give according to all His ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. So we come here tonight and we gather in this place and we know that God knows our hearts. God knows your heart and He knows your heart. He knows yours and yours and yours and yours, and God knows my heart. He knows every thought, every intent, every motive, every longing, every desire, good or evil. God knows it. He knows us completely. In John chapter 2, we read of the Lord Jesus being in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover feast. And we read that during that period that He was there in Jerusalem, many believed in His name when they saw the signs which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. And He knows what's in you. And He knows what's in me. He knows everyone, and He knows what's in every one of us, and He knows everything that's in every one of us. After the Lord Jesus arose from the dead and met with His disciples as He told them He would, there by the Sea of Galilee on the shore. And you remember how He spent that time specifically with Peter. And there restoring Peter after Peter's denial three times of his Savior, we hear the Lord Jesus asking him three times. And the third time He asked Peter that question, "Do you love me?" Peter responded to the Lord Jesus by saying, "Lord, You know all things. You know that I love You." The Lord Jesus didn't deny that. The Lord Jesus didn't say, now hold on, Peter. I have great knowledge, but don't go so far as to say, I know all things. The Lord Jesus received that confession as truth. The Lord Jesus is God. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. God knows everything there is to know about everything there is or was or will be. God knows everything about everyone that has been, that is, or that will be. And God knows everything there is to know about Himself. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus declared, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Father wills to reveal Him." You know, if it wasn't for God revealing to us His Son, we would know nothing of His Son except what we could see from creation. If it wasn't for what the Son chose to reveal us of the Father, we would know nothing of God the Father. And no one completely knows the Father but the Son. No one completely knows the Son but the Father. Our God, our great God, is not only everywhere all the time, but our God, our great God, knows everything all the time. In Acts 15 and verse 18, we read that known to God from eternity are all His works. Here in the context of the salvation of Gentiles out of the Gentile people, we find that God knew from eternity past everything that He was going to do through all the eons of time and throughout eternity. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. For sake of time, I'm not asking you to turn to all of these passages, but in Isaiah chapter 46, we continue the scriptural evidence that our God is omniscient. He knows all things. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9, We're told to remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Only an omniscient God could declare the end from the beginning. Only an omniscient God could say, I will do everything that I have planned to do. Everything that is my heart's desire, I will bring to pass. He declares the end from the beginning, and there is no one like Him. He said, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. He is the only one who knows everything. In Job 37, in the 16th verse, Elihu, who you remember, the younger man who came in after Job's three friends, his so-called comforters, had finished their cross-examination and their attempts to somehow comfort Job by putting him in his place and straightening out his theology. And eventually God rebuked them as He rebuked Job. Interesting, the only one that's not rebuked is that fourth friend, Elihu. And Elihu asked Job, do you know how the clouds are balanced? Those wondrous works of Him who is perfect in knowledge. Our God is perfect in knowledge. There is nothing that He does not know. And as we think about the perfect knowledge of God, we may ask ourselves some questions. One question may be this, and it's interesting because we're here tonight to pray. And we may ask ourselves this question, if God knows everything, why does the Bible instruct us to pray? We read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 that we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Well, if God already knows what my needs are, if God already knows what I'm going to pray, if God already knows not only what my needs are and what I'm going to pray, but God already knows how it's all going to work out, what His answer is going to be, why in the world will we need to pray? What purpose would there be? What purpose is there? I should have preached this at the beginning, right? And we could have gone home. No, if that was true. Our God does know everything, but that doesn't mean that prayer is not important or that's not essential. Yes, He already knows what I'm going to ask Him. Yes, He already knows what the outcome is going to be. But God desires that we pray, not because He is not omniscient, but rather that because through prayer we confess and demonstrate our dependency on Him. When we came to God, when we come to God as we have done tonight, we are confessing before God, God, we depend on You. God, our confidence is in You. And God, if it's not for You, we have no hope. It's not that God's not going to do anything and sit there wringing His hands if we don't come and pray. But we come to God and we confess and demonstrate our dependency on Him. Also, through prayer, we align our will with His will. We come before Him in prayer and we recognize not only that He already knows everything, and that as we'll see later as we study His omnipotence, He can do anything, but we also come before Him recognizing that in His omniscience, He knows what is best. So really, as we come and pray, actually we are saying, God, we believe You are omniscient. We believe You do know everything. Because we want to come and we want to pray, not our will, but Your will be done. And several of our brothers tonight prayed in that way. And even the ones who didn't verbalize it, that was the heart. Lord, we want Your will to be done in these matters, because we trust You, because we know that You know everything. You declare the end from the beginning. You don't just know everything about the past. That would be amazing enough. And not only do you know everything about the present, that's impressive, with over 7 billion people on the earth, just that you know everything in the present, but you also know the future, and so we trust you. We pray, even though God knows everything, we pray because through prayer, we are privileged to join God as a partner in His work. There's the grace of God that He says, I want you. And I want you to come and I want you to be a co-laborer with me. Not because I need you, but because by grace I'm going to allow you to come in and join with me, and I'm going to let you pray. And I'm going to let you be a part of my great work in this world for time and eternity. And we pray, in spite of the omniscience of God, we pray. And because of the omniscience of God, we pray because through prayer we grow in faith. Our faith is strengthened as we come to God, whom we are confident is omniscient and knows everything, the end from the beginning, and knows every hair of our heads, and knows everything about us inwardly and outwardly, every emotion, every motivation, every temptation. We come to God and we bring our requests to Him, and we lift them up privately or corporately, and we believe God. And as we believe God and we see God work, our faith is strengthened. It's strengthened for the walk on the journey through this life, and it's strengthened for the next time that we pray. So the fact that we pray is no reflection at all in a negative way on the omniscience of God, but rather it is a declaration of our confidence in the omniscience of God. Because we demonstrate our dependency on Him. We align our wills with the one whose will is omniscient. We align our will with the one whom we want to join in His work, not doing it our way, but doing it His way. We align our wills with Him. We come and pray that we might grow in faith. Our God knows everything. There are some other questions that come up. And I'll just a little teaser here. I'll give them to you for next time. If God knows everything, why does the Bible sometimes seem to suggest that God is learning something? Or that God changes His mind? If God knows everything, why does He ask questions in the Bible? If God knows everything, how can we say that human beings have free will? If God knows everything, then why would the Bible exhort me to peace, since God knows all about me, the good and the bad and the ugly? We'll look at those on a future time. Tonight we'll close in prayer, going before the one who knows everything about everything and everyone. Father, we thank You that the requests we have made tonight have not fallen upon deaf ears. They have not fallen upon the ears of one who is not able to do what is best. And Father, tonight we thank You particularly that our prayers do not come to one who does not know what to do, who does not know what is best to be done. But Lord, we come and confess to You that You know all things. You, Father, are all-knowing, and we just come to You in thanksgiving because of that, and in worship because of that, and Father, also in dependency because of that. Lord, we align our wills with Your will. We come and we bow before You and we say, Lord, not our will, but Your will be done in all of these requests and in everything that we pray. And Father, we pray that Your peace will comfort our hearts, even as we come to You and with thanksgiving by supplication and intercession. Father, we make our requests known to You, not because You don't know, but because we trust You. And Father, we unburden our hearts onto You and thank You for who You are. And we pray in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. May you enjoy the omniscience of our Lord.